Welcome to One Man's Opinion, brought to you by the Elite Fantasy, Fantasy Guru, and EliteSportsBetting.com. And now, here's your host, Jeff Manns.
All right, welcome in everybody indeed. A brand new season begins today on One Man's Opinion. This is the podcast that's sweeping the nation. Season premiere, season number 5. We are live, everybody, live on tape from Arizona. That's the way we roll, everybody. We've got a lot planned for you today. Episode number 200, the season premiere. However, it's just me. Little old me. Why is it just me? Why am I solo today? I've got plenty of explaining to do on that front as I welcome you guys into the program. Thank you for downloading, subscribe. Thank you for staying with me after a couple week hiatus there. Really do appreciate it. We are nonstop now through the rest of the year until next February. Indeed, in season 5, got a lot planned for you today. Remember, this podcast is very much vulgar. It is inappropriate. It is going to shame you. It is going to offend you. Thus, it's going to say the dirty words. Do not let children hear it. Do not let the sensitive eardrum people. If you are one of those people, this show is not for you. This is not the radio. I do not have to be friendly, and there is no rules or restrictions. I'm going to say a lot of curse words, so put the earbuds in, noise-canceling headphones, please and thank you. This is my podcast, One Man's Opinion. I am Jeff Manns. You may hear me weekday afternoon, Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. I host a little show called Elite Sports on that network. I also am part owner and the chief content officer of FantasyGuru.com. That is the place to be this entire season, folks. And whatever season I'm talking about, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, yes, 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 golf, yes, yes, yes. UFL, yes, yes, yes. Horse racing, yes, yes, yes. Every single sport, poker, we cover it all. It's the largest active community in fantasy sports, fantasyguru.com. We actually have a 50% off special right now. Use that promo code 50special and boom, sign up, get in, all the bets. You're going to make your money back. That's not even in our spectrum. Of course, you're going to make your money back at the very least, even if you're a very low limit player. Maybe it takes you an extra couple weeks to pay it off or whatever, depending on the amount you play. But betting, DFS, seasonal, all that is over at fantasyguru.com. So get over there and join us and come into our Discord and then say hello. Get in the man's cave. Say, hey, Jeff, I'm new. I'm here. Thank you. And hey, this is my question or whatever. I'm always happy to answer questions around the clock on that deal. You can follow me on social media at Jeff_Manns on Twitter, the Jeff Manns everywhere else, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, Threads, Blue Sky, everywhere there is social media, I will be there. All right, folks, this is the season premiere episode. This is episode 200. For those who've been with me since the beginning, you're the real ones. Appreciate you very, very much. For those who've just hopped on in the last few episodes, or maybe this is your first episode, welcome to the show. Indeed. So here's what is going on. I have a lot of updates to do. I'm going to talk a lot of NFL draft here today on the show, as well as we're just 2 weeks out at this standpoint. And I want to get that now. I've done a lot of work. I want to pass. I got to get this out of me. It's like an infection. I just got to get it out. All right. But in this case, it's useful information instead of some gross, like yellow phlegm or some shit like that, whatever it is. All right. I've been through a lot the last month to 6 weeks. There's been a lot going on, personal life, professional life, and all that kind of stuff. I'm not big on Twitter announcements or bringing my baggage onto everybody. I've been pretty outspoken about it. I had a sort of a panic attack live on the radio like 2-3 weeks ago where I just like, you would have thought I stroked out. I just blanked and everything just fucking went dark and narrowed in on me. Again, I have dealt with depression in my life. I've dealt with stress and things like that. No different than any of you. I try very hard. I've tried to be a better person in life. I've tried to get better. I've seen the flaws of my parents, even brothers and sisters who are older. And I've learned a lot from my family and from friends and all people who I've talked to. And I've tried to do try to recognize when I'm going down a rabbit hole or a trouble compartment, and I got overloaded with stress. I have a lot going on. It's my off season. I'm supposed to take it easy during the NFL off season. That didn't happen at all this year. In fact, I got like two video games for Christmas, PS5 games that I played two games of Madden 2024, and I never opened NBA 2K. It's still in its cellophane wrapping. I've not even opened it. I try to play a game and try to go through the seasons and kind of get some downtime. I've not had any time to do that. Over the last few months, it's been hectic. Obviously, a lot personal life. I had a wedding out of town. I got sick like middle of March. We decided to rip up the entire floors of our whole house, two-story house, upstairs, downstairs, flooring. It turned into a fucking disgrace and nightmare. I mean, there is nothing worse than having people in your house. And again, there's so few carpenters and tradespeople in the world right now that that's the place to go. If you want to be rich in the future, learn a trade, learn how to put down flooring or carpeting or any of that, because you're going to be rich, because there ain't shit anybody could do about it. Once they got your carpet torn up, you're at their mercy, and there's ain't fucking thing they can do. So that's been stressful. Had issues, for those who know, all different kinds of issues. Then we have a special project for the football season that we're doing over fantasyguru.com. I'm not allowed to talk about that. Also, the fantasy sports industry has taken a nosedive. For those who aren't paying attention, or you know, you don't care about that kind of stuff, or maybe you do, but you just haven't noticed, there are over 20 companies that have gone out of business since January. It is the middle of April. 20 plus companies, reputable ones. There are a couple others, including ones that I know of, that are very prominent and well-known, that are legitimately out of funds and just stop paying their people. And so this is going to come out in the days or weeks ahead. There's a lot of problems. It's been hard work keeping us afloat over at fantasyguru.com. You know, it's just the business cycle. Football does big business. Baseball doesn't do any business anymore. You know, you have to really wow people in order to sell any kind of memberships at baseball and stuff like that. And you have to have a proven track record. We're fortunate enough to do that. But it's not easy. It's slow going. There used to be money from DFS companies and betting companies that can pay all of our people and all that. And that doesn't exist. Not a nickel. Doesn't exist anymore. So it's been difficult with all that, and stressful. I put a lot on myself because of that. I'm the front guy of fantasyguru.com. I have responsibility to my staff, and most importantly, staff and our membership. And I just want to make sure that we're doing that. So we created a lot of new things. You know, we got Smash Report and Burr Report. We have one of the best baseball products in the fucking planet. Like, it's the best. We have the best box scores. Our box scores are ahead of me watching the live game. Like, we have amazing data, amazing bets, amazing DFS write-ups. We have access to the most knowledgeable people in the world. But it's like, people are indifferent. And, you know, it's a difficult thing, right? I did NBA. I've been doing NBA since January. So I'm doing baseball, I'm doing NBA, I'm doing off-season football. I got a major project that I'm writing along with several other members of our staff. I got a three-hour radio show now, and it's just all, and then home has been nonstop, people parading in and out and traveling. And so I've had a lot of stress and a couple of meltdowns and near meltdowns as of late. So one of the things I wanted to do here, episode 200. So when I last left you guys at the end of season four, I said that we'd have a big celebration for episode 200. And then today it's just a little old me. Well, that's how it's going to be for the foreseeable future. This is one man's opinion. It's very difficult to schedule around everybody. Home life for me with people in and out of the house. I need a quiet record. It affects my family and all that kind of stuff. And then getting guests. My plan was for this episode to be Ted and Ray Flowers and Ted Schuster and Phil Backert, Sandra Nella, all of us join and just kind of shoot the shit and tell the stories of the year. And that was the plan. It's fucking impossible. These guys are working their asses off. it's gotten really difficult to schedule everybody. And unfortunately, I couldn't do it, and, you know, and it's not fair. So the one thing I can do is, and I think it's just easier. I'm going to have guests on the show this season, but I'm not going to force it. It's going to be me most of the time. It's just going to be me providing information that I've researched and studied, talking about the topics you guys ask me about and that are you are interested in as well, right? It's just going to be tight. It's going to be simple, and it's going to be dependable, right? It's very important to me that the podcast is uploaded on time and downloaded on time. Shout out to my guy, Sean Engel, who does an amazing job like clockwork, even though I miss my marks from time to time. I'm late. Or I send it in the files and early and shit like that. He's always on top of it. But I owe him. I don't want to waste his time either. He's doing NASCAR podcasts and NASCAR writing for us over at fantasyguru.com as well, doing a wonderful job. So that's why it's just me. And that's how it's going to be. I'll roll some guests in when it's appropriate and when it's timely and when it's accessible. Otherwise, I'm just going to bring you this best fucking content I can. And I'm going to focus more. I'm focused on football most of the time on this podcast. Our numbers go way up for football. You guys seem to covet football. I'm happy to talk baseball, happy to talk basketball. I'm happy to talk other topics as well. But for the all intents and purposes, this is going to be more football related on this podcast. And it's going to be real life too. Because that's the other thing. As I sat back and where do I want to take this podcast? It's important to me to just whether it's guests or anything else, I wanted the right people. I have learned, and I wouldn't have been able to get out of my rut, the rut I've been in for like probably a month, but I really had, I mean, I had fucking breakdowns, y'all. Like I was really cracking. And even now, I'm not quite out of it. I feel it, you know, it overwhelms you. The stress just is so fucking much. But if I didn't have great people around me, I would have no idea what to do. My wife, my kids, my friends, right? Even Ted and Ray, who I always rip on these guys, but they're Phil and Sandra, who've put up with a lot behind the scenes on this XM show. It's like, man, if I didn't have that support system, I don't know what the fuck I would do. So, and I recognize that I'm fortunate. I must be lucky in that regard. So I want to be there for you. I'm going to do more coaching. It's what I really want to do. I'll be honest. So we have a sponsor, rtsports.com. RT Sports is absolutely fantastic. And we have a big thing planned over in RT Sports. We've got some home run derby competitions that we, you guys remember we did a bunch of drafts before the Major League Baseball season. Well, they have ramped up their entire assortment, I guess the word, or other baseball leagues, right? And their DFS style contests for the home run showdowns, right? And you can play all the nominations, all different types and stuff. So they're redoing all that, and they're going to be fan fucking tastic. They've got DFS every single night over there at rtsports.com, and you know, play for money. It's a great place to play specifically. If you are a lower stakes player or you are a newer player, or even if you've been struggling, it's just not as noisy. There's not as many people plunging fucking lineups in. You know, they just don't do that. You can win nice, easy, steady money. You know, $10,000 top prizes are available, I think, once a week. Otherwise, their top prize is usually about $1,000 to $2,000, but that's fine. That's fine. It doesn't cost a lot the way FanDuel or DraftKings or these others do. So shout out to my guys, rtsports.com. That is the place to be. And, the home run derbies we're going to start doing on the SiriusXM show and in our Discord rooms over at fantasyguru.com as well. So I'm excited about that. So again, RT Sports is a tremendous organization. I've known them since I started in the industry. And they're just dependable, reliable. They're great for players. They very adaptable. And they're wonderful people to be in business with. And so shout out to them. Again, Fantasy Guru, the promo codes, by the way, if you want a deposit and you're going to you know, make a first deposit or something like that. Like, make sure you're using those promo codes. Make sure that you are using all that so that, you know, Fantasy Gurus, the promo code, 50% deposit match right there. And it goes all the way up. That includes if you already have an account at RT Sports, right? If you put in the code RT20, you get 20% discount on any season-long product. All right. So otherwise, Fantasy Guru, all one word, 50% deposit match on that deal. So again, so shout out to those guys. What I want to do, it's not about money for me. It's actually quite the opposite. Like, when I'm going through my breakdowns and meltdowns, I'm thinking, what the fuck do I need this for? And it's a real question, because I don't. I truly don't. It's not like it was before. I when I was coming up, I needed the money and I did anything I can to get it and to win and scratch and claw. And it's weird how it works, but it's not my motivation anymore, right? It's not. My motivation is about people. It's about it. I'm not going to lie to anybody. It starts with myself and it goes forward. I want to feel better. I want to be better. I want to feel better. You know what I mean? And I think it's something I'm sure a lot of you may relate to. And in order to do that, I need to be around good people. I need to be in positive environments. I don't want to get dragged down. I fucking hate Twitter, man. Fucking hate it. I'm so sick of fucking Twitter and everybody fighting, arguing about bullshit. You know, it's just fucking ridiculous to me. I can't stand it. You know, I like good people. And thus, that's what I want to do with my life. It's what I want to do. I'm passionate about sports. I'm passionate about fantasy sports and betting. And I'm also passionate about helping people. So it's going to be a lot more of that. I'm not going to be preachy, though. I understand you guys don't listen to me to fucking give you some life advice. I get it. Fuck that. You don't want man's to don't tell me what to do. I don't blame you. But I do think that we all could, even if you don't agree with me on whatever topic it may be. Like I said, I'm going to probably end up, I will not purposely talk politics, but I'm going to shit all over Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Like, there's no fucking way I don't. I'm going to throw digs at both those motherfuckers because I fucking don't like them. I don't like either one of them. And again, nothing personal against either one. I'm fucking sick of these people. You know what I mean? I'm just fucking sick of it. And nobody's got my best interest at heart. So fuck them. Fuck them both. You know what I mean? I don't like people pretending, oh, yeah, I care about you. No, you don't. I know you don't. Don't fucking lie to me about that. So I want to be clear about that. I want to be there for you guys that need help. And whether it's fantasy, whether it's life, whether it's betting, any of that stuff, I am here for you. Coaching people, helping people be better, creating a more positive, just a better environment. I can't say it's always going to be positive because I bitch a lot. I'm a complainer. There's no question. But again, getting out helps me, and I hope it helps you guys as well. Just don't direct it at me. I won't direct it at you, and we're all good, right? So that's what it's going to be. It's going to be unique content on the show, too, going forward on this podcast as well. I'm going to try as hard as I can not to, because I got 3 hours on the radio every single day. That's a lot of time. It's a lot of topics to cover. You know, it's obviously a lot more work behind the scenes for me in the game. But I want to also bring unique perspective here on this podcast. So there you go. Speaking of unique content, I'll dive into it at this point. One of the things I did want to talk about, I'll get into football. I got a lot of NFL draft coverage to talk about here today. Let's be clear. I want to talk Caitlin Clark. I missed the entire, like, that whole wave of women's Final Four, like the Iowa, LSU, South Carolina, all that shit. I am at the stage of my life where I do not do what I don't want to do unless it benefits somebody I know or benefit mostly my membership at fantasyguru.com. That's it. And I didn't feel it did. I was wrong. I mean, 18 million people watched and, you know, it was a big deal. And, you know, I know, like, of course, Ted was talking about it because it's Iowa, but like even Phil and Sondra, some of the guys were talking about it. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, it's weird. And I just missed it all. However, so that's on me. And, you know, I'm not into women's basketball. I don't think I ever will be. It's just not something that interests me. And the other thing is, but the thing that's driving me fucking crazy right now that I can't talk about on most mediums is this whole idea that Caitlin Clark could make $70,000 in the WNBA. She was the first pick this week, in case you missed it, all that kind of stuff. Number one, let's say something. She made $3 million in endorsements. Yeah, I'm not going to feel sorry for that. She's a basketball player, and she made $3 million in college endorsements. She was on every fucking commercial I saw during the NCAA tournament, like everyone. So absolutely not going to feel bad for her. $70,000. But let's make sure there's an understanding here. The WNBA players are paid that because that's what they bring in. In fact, they don't bring that in, right? They do not bring that money. They're a subsidized league. The regular NBA pays for everything for WNBA. The WNBA loses anywhere from $20 to $40 million a year. They lose a shit ton of money. And that's even with them being wedged in. They get licensing from the fucking NBA 2K video game. Fucking ESPN wedges them in because to get the NBA, they have to do the WNBA stadium rights and holdings and reservations. They get in on that. They get all these deals and everything. They don't make money. That is not the player's fault. It is our fault. We are a society full of fucking bitches. You want to pay. You don't want to buy something. You don't want to support something. But you want those people. You also don't want them to. Who's going to pay? Who pays? Who the fuck is going to pay? Boku bucks, 10 grand, 50 grand, whatever it is for primo WNBA tickets and season tickets and $1 billion for television rights. That's never going to happen. If that happens, the WNBA players are going to get paid just like the NBA. I am so fucking sick of this bullshit that people talking as if it's a sexist policy. It's not a sexist policy. It would be sexist, and it has been sexist in the past at the workplace. When a male gets paid the same or more money for doing the same job. Okay. Notice nobody in the private sector, nobody complains that the an accountant at ma and pa molding company down in Wichita, outside of Wichita, Kansas, that accountant makes a ton less than the accountant at the New York City offices of IBM, right? It's the same job. Why do they get different money? Because one makes $1 billion a year, the other makes $100,000 a year. That's why. What is so hard to understand? This is not hard. This is just people trying to make arguments. There was a day when the same job, the same company, the male would make more than a female did. Those days are mostly gone. They still exist places and we have to still weed them out. But don't try to make that argument for WNBA versus NBA. That's fucking ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous. Caitlin Clark will make, and any WNBA players who are stars like she is will make their money off the court. So whatever they make on the court will be peanuts in addition to what they do. And guess what? The more she makes off the court, this is the way it's been in sports throughout. Every sport that's ever jumped up, you guys are probably too young to remember, but like the NBA finals weren't even on broadcast TV. They were on tape delay for a while. The fucking Super Bowl got cut off for Heidi. You know, what happens is guys like Joe Namath back in those days, or Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and eventually Michael Jordan, these guys become, they get paid a pittance for playing their game. And then they do product endorsements. They sell sneakers. They sell Coca-Cola. They sell Arnold Palmer sells fucking lemonade or whatever the fuck, and Polident, whatever. And then all of a sudden they become stars. Then people recognize them from that and then watch their sport or tune into their sport. And then they start paying attention. Oh, who's that who beat Caitlin Clark? Oh, who's that beat the person that beat Caitlin Clark? And then all of a sudden you have interest in your sport. And when you have interest in your sport and more people are in the door, then there's more advertising deals. You could charge higher ticket prices, higher commercial airtime, bigger television right deals, bigger streaming right deals, and thus more money. That's business. It's fucking business. And again, why this matters and makes me so fired up is because people try to make it about man versus woman. It has nothing to do with that. Absolutely nothing to do with it. There are things that women get paid more than men do, right? And that's, again, should it be, shouldn't it be? Who knows? You get what you get, you're worth what you're worth. Go out there and keep going and prove it, right? And again, the Kardashians are one of the highest paid people on fucking television. Should they be? To me, that show's god awful. It's a fucking reality show. They get paid more than trained, seasonally professional actors. Should they? Well, they're worth it. What are you going to do? Yeah, nothing. Fucking Real Housewives get paid crazy tons of money. Should they? Fuck no. Watch a fucking crazy, but that's what people watch. That's what they're tuning into. That's the facts. And it's undeniable. And also, it's not a man versus woman debate at all. If WNBA brought in as much money as the NBA, and then they didn't distribute that to their players, then we have a fucking problem. Then, yeah. Go get them, and then we fucking riot. But that's not what's happening. And why it's so sensitive to me is this is what happened in the fantasy industry. The fantasy industry has run into this where for years they lived off of DraftKings money and FanDuel money, and they were all subsidized by that. They just didn't put out quality work. They don't endear themselves to customers or consumers or listeners or anything else. But they all want money. They all got paid way too fucking much. Some of the big dogs took way too much bigger bites than they deserved. And it's completely ruined what a once thriving industry, right? I wouldn't say ruined because we're still around and there's a lot of companies that are still around doing great work, right? So it thins it out. We're going to be better off for it ultimately, but it's a shame because a lot of good people got caught in the wake. A lot of good people got caught under that are jobless right now that I fucking wish I had enough revenue to pay everybody what they're worth. And more so, quite honestly. But that's just not the case. So poor understanding of business leads to major problems and it hurts really good people. But when we don't understand the business side of sports, then we are ignorant. We react in stupid ways. We say stupid things like Caitlin Clark should get as much as a rookie NBA player. No, she shouldn't under any fucking circumstances. Not with those financials. Show me similar, at least ballpark financials, and I'll say absolutely she should make more. She should make more. Abso-fucking-lutely. So that's my stance on that. Let's get into some NFL draft conversation. So just to prove to you that I'm providing unique content here on One Man's Opinion. This is something I've kind of held out from we did a big thing on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio a couple of weeks ago. I went through every NFL general manager's checklist in their entire history. I went through every team who they've taken from 2010 through 2023 NFL draft, right? Every single one and broken everything down. Every year I regrade it. And I actually went back this year through all years. Normally I only go back the last five. I went all the way back just to make sure I got proper numbers on everything and everybody. And in that spirit, I have all the new general managers, the people responsible for an NFL draft or a team's NFL draft, the general manager, ultimately, obviously everything's the owner, but the general manager makes the decision, or at least he's the one that gets it approved by the owner. The player personnel director is the one that has the direction of everything on the field, all the personnel decisions. They're the ones that send it up to the general manager. The director of college scouting are the ones responsible for the grading process and everything of these athletes at the college level. He brings up to the personnel director, brings up to the general manager who signs off by the owner. That's how it works. Of course, there's always different dynamics in certain, but those are the three people responsible. In that spirit, I keep up on this. This is what we do over at fantasyguru.com. We have five new general managers this year. Dan Morgan in Carolina, Tom Telesco, who goes from L.A. for the Chargers to Las Vegas, inner division. That's wild. Joe Horitz goes from the Ravens to the Chargers. Elliot Wolf is the new GM, de facto GM of the New England Patriots. No more Bill Belichick. That's a big deal in New England. And Adam Peters goes from San Francisco to Washington is their new GM. We have nine new player personnel directors, including Atlanta, Baltimore, Carolina. Detroit technically doesn't have one. They are vacant right now, as is the LA Chargers, as is the New York Jets, actually. Three vacancies at that spot. Willie Schneider, he's in Seattle now. Tariq Ahmad in San Francisco, who takes Adam Peters' old job. Chris Brinker in Tennessee, also new there as well. Six new director of college scouting. Arizona, Atlanta, Carolina, New England, Philadelphia Eagles, that's interesting, and the San Francisco 49ers all have new director of college scouting. Okay, so I went through and broke down on the radio show, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, 3 to 6 Eastern, Elite Sports, everybody. I went through and broke it all down team by team, the picks that have made it, the picks that didn't. What I didn't do on that program, just ran out of time that week, and I decided it would make a good thing for the podcast, is the hit rates across the entire NFL. Now, I'm fascinated by this. So, again, there have been thousands and thousands of draft picks. I believe there's 13,000 draft picks over the last 13 years, something like, or not 13,000, I fucking... over the last 14 years that I've done this. So, like, that's obviously a lot. There's 3,800 draft picks. 3,800. 3,824 to be exact. So that's the number of total draft picks. And I've graded every single draft pick, every pick made. And I have a very low standard of success rate. You get... Now, eventually, I'll probably get into grading these on higher level because, you know, you hit on a Brock Purdy in the seventh round. Should that count equally to hitting on, you know, a good first round pick? Probably not. But for all intents and purposes, what I'm looking at here is simply usable players. Jeff Swaim is a usable player. Jeff Swaim is sort of my de facto guy that I will point to. And that is the baseline. Like, if you're Jeff Swaim, you were drafted in 2014, 2015, seventh rounder for the Dallas Cowboys, kicked around a little bit, hasn't really done anything. His big season, three touchdowns one year, and he had 242 yards another year. He's more of a blocking tight end, been around Arizona, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Dallas. But believe it or not, that's a hit. That's a fucking hit. So the bar is low. We can all agree on that, correct? It's a low bar to get to. So in that spirit, I went through the teams and the GMs that had the highest hit rate. Now, there are some of these guys that haven't been on the job very long. Guys like Brad Holmes in Detroit, who's been phenomenal this couple seasons there. Monty Austin Fort in Arizona hasn't been as great in Arizona, but everyone loves the videos of him wheeling and dealing and all that good stuff. Right. And there's new guys that are on the scene. Adolfo Mensa in Minnesota comes to mind there as well. Omar Khan at Pittsburgh only has a couple drafts under his belt. So I graded them on the show by the GM. For this, I'm just going to grade the team over the last 14 years. All right. And this is interesting. I will grade the team with the highest hit rate in the last 14 years of drafts, 2010 through 2023, is the Houston Texans. Nick Cazario himself is at 56.5%. Now, their number's a lot lower, around 42%. By the way, the NFL average, what do you think the NFL average hit rate is? of all those draft picks, of all the draft picks, the 38-24 that I told you about, the hit rate is 36.2%. For those that have listened to my breakdowns the last couple of years, notice that's an increase of almost 5%. We went from 31.3% to 32.6% last year. I went back and regraded every draft pick this offseason. And I was much more, I guess, delicate. Again, just make sure, like, hey, if these guys even bounced around, you know, again, the Jeff Swaim pick is a Jerry Jones pick. That does he deserve credit? Did he do shit in Dallas? No. Well, useful player, even. So I was a little more, I am trying to be as fair as humanly fucking possible to these GMs. But Houston has an amazing track record. It's weird that a year ago at this time, we all looked at the Houston Texans as the butthole of the NFL. But, you know, this is a team that when Gary Kubiak was there and it was Matt Schaub and company, I mean, there were playoffs, 10-6, 12-4, divisional round. Then, you know, bottom and out season. They bottom out 2-14, 2013, 9-7, 9-7, 9-7. You know, win a playoff game in 2016. Like, it's like, all right. 4-12, that shit. Then 11-5, 10-6, another playoff win in 2019 with Deshaun Watson, right? NFC champ. Remember, they had the Chiefs, they're up 21-0. On Kansas City in the first half of that AFC champion or divisional round game, end up fucking losing it. But then 4-12, 4-13, 3-13-1, bottoming out. Now they're back and everybody trades for Stephon Diggs and it's exciting and all this. They've actually done a really good job drafting players over, and that's through multiple general managers, head coaches, and all that. They've actually hit on a high number. Second on this list, and this is one that's crazy, the Detroit Lions, second on the list. Now, a lot of this, Brad Holmes deserves a ton of it because he's hitting on 52% of his draft picks over the last three seasons. That's an amazing number. And if it wasn't for that, Detroit, if you take out the last four drafts, oh, it's not bad. See, it's getting better. They were one of the worst teams in the league in hit rate. So they have legitimately just ballooned up massively over the last few years. And that's thanks to Brad Holmes, their new general manager, and having a lot of high first-round picks and hitting on guys like Aiden Hutchinson. Remember, Jameson Williams is the first-round pick. That really 12th overall hasn't done shit. That's not a win. Jameson Williams is not a win. That is a negative on that ledger for Brad Holmes, right? But Penei Sewell is a great draft pick. Amon-Ra on the fourth round. Eric Barnes in the fourth round. These are just tremendous picks. And it has catapulted Detroit to one of, if not the single most talented roster in the entire NFL. I think the best general manager over a long period of time is Mickey Loomis in New Orleans. They are third on this list, third highest hit rate. Loomis has been there for all the drafts, 45.4% hit rate. Crazy good. Now, Mickey's let it down the last couple of seasons. There's, you know, no doubt about that their drafts have been a little wonky ever since Sean Payton left, ever since Drew Brees retired as well. So did, you know, you got to wonder sometimes with these teams like Kansas City, who's up here, one of the top teams, is Brett Veach in Kansas City hitting on draft picks because, well, people come in and get to play with Patrick Mahomes and that just makes him much more usable and look good? I think there's part of that. And that's part, maybe what was guiding Mickey Loomis into the top GM spot over the last 14 years, right? Because Brian Brees didn't do shit last year, their first round pick. Isaiah Folksy, blah. Kendra Miller, I have high hopes for this year, but he didn't do shit. Olave was a hit a year ago. Trevor Penning didn't work out when they traded up. He's not bad. Penning's not bad. He'll likely move inside. We'll get into that next week with the mock drafts and stuff. But Peyton Turner, the first-round pick, I mean, they've whiffed massively on some first round picks in recent years. And you can't be doing that. Can't be doing that. And Mickey Loomis is better than that. And has shown to be better than that over a long period of time. Saints are third. Pittsburgh Steelers fourth. Kansas City Chiefs fifth. Again, Chiefs have some ups and some downs for sure. The funniest part about it is that Brett Veach he gets credit for Patrick Mahomes, but he really shouldn't. Right? That was the previous GM, Saunders, I believe. That was his baby in there. It was really Andy Reid. If you really want to get into it, it was Andy Reid's call ultimately. So as far as dishing out credit for that, it should be Andy Reid. Definitely wasn't Brett Veach. Veach technically took over that offseason for John. It was John Dorsey. That was it. John Dorsey was in Kansas City all those years and left right as the draft happened, or right after the draft happened. That was kind of his last thing. And, because Dorsey left in June. And it's like, well, that'll do it. And then John Dorsey went to the Cleveland Browns and became GM of the Browns and had some, they were bad for a while, but I mean, look at how fucking talented that roster is now. And then, of course, 2020, he goes to the Detroit Lions, where he's not the GM, but you want to look at a guy who's built some model organizations, Kansas City, Cleveland, and Detroit, John fucking Dorsey. That's an impact maker in the front offices. Miami is sixth on this list. And, their current Chris Greer, a pretty good hit ratio himself over that span. Miami's at 41.1%. Again, I'm a 5% over average. Anytime you hit in the 40s, you're doing good work through the draft. And remember, the draft isn't the be-all, end-all, just like it's not in fantasy football, right? Now, in fantasy, we can't get away with hitting on 36% of our picks. If we did that, we'd be in last place. So think of that. When you think you had a bad draft or things didn't work out, just remember that these NFL fucks have 30% hit rates and still gainfully employed. Yeah. Chargers were seven. Now, the funny thing about the Chargers over this time is it's mostly Tom Telesco, who they let go this offseason. And now Tom Telesco went to the Raiders. Tom Telesco built a good roster, 40.6% hit rate for Telesco, right? Pretty damn good. But yet, he's out of work. The Chargers go get Joe Horitz from the Ravens organization, and Telesco just says, fuck it. He'll move down the I-10 there. I think it's I-10 to Las Vegas and help the Raiders, a Raiders team out that, sort of middle of the pack. And hasn't really, they had Mike Mayock, who was very up and down, but haven't had, he knows the division. He knows the opponents. Obviously, he knows one of the opponents inside and out. I love the hire for the Raiders of Tom Telesco. I'm very interested to see, what he ends up doing with that Raider pick as well, whether or not he stays at 13 or if he's going to move up trying to get a quarterback. So the Chargers were seventh, Tampa Bay eighth. Tampa Bay's drafted very well. Jason Licht has been very good, like really underrated GM when all is said and done. It is Tom Brady winning them a championship. Tom Brady gets all the credit, but man, they don't get Tom Brady without a quality roster all the way around. And Brady doesn't, it wasn't the best years for Brady either. He doesn't get to that without all those good players that Jason Licht and company brought in. So he won't get nearly as much credit as he deserves for it. Buffalo at nine and the Atlanta Falcons were 10. So those are the top 10 teams and hit rates in the draft over the last 14 years. Again, some surprises on that list. Now, I didn't say this with Houston, but here's one other thing that does come into it. Bad teams do have open more of their draft picks get playing time than good teams do. So it is a little bit harder for good teams to have a high hit rate in the draft. But I think that's why we do the study over time and not just a short amount of time. Because like a John Lynch, for instance, the 49ers are not in the bottom 10. They're like 20th in the league over that time. And John Lynch gets a lot of credit for building the team. Well, yeah. But he's also had some monumental misses. He missed on Mahomes, Solomon Thomas, Trey Lance is abysmal. But he's had some nice middle and late round hits, George Kittle and the like that. So it's very up and down. And it's harder to break into, if you're the 49ers, you're drafting a fourth round pick. That's a difficult thing for a fourth rounder to come in and start or to get any kind of productive playing time, right? But so that's an angle, and that's something to consider. The other thing, though, to understand and why I think this is a fair way to judge and to grade is that if you're a quality fourth round pick and the team is just too stacked, chances are they're going to cut you or you're going to go to the practice squad. Somebody else is going to pick you up and you'll be productive there. And over time, that's why I go back and look at that kind of stuff. Like, all right, did this guy pop? The 2015 draft or, you know, whatever it may be, did that player pop, for instance, right? So that's where we look. And a lot of times I'll do that. I'll go back and I'll be like, oh, yeah, this guy, you know, had a real good career. And it's like, oh, he had a very good career other places. Von Bell, I mean, his best years, maybe. He was good. Was he good in New Orleans? Was good in Cincinnati, that's for sure. Marcus Davenport was a first rounder for the Saints a few years ago. Kind of a letdown, you know, I would say. He's in Minnesota. He's bouncing around now. But Trey Hendrickson, another great pick by the Saints in the third round. Now his best years have come. He had that one monster year, the final year of his contract, his rookie deal. Then he went to Cincinnati. He's just been a beast ever since, right? 60 sacks from a third rounder. That's the way to go. So, again, that's why we go back. I do think it's a fair way to grade these players. So, there you go. If you're interested in who the worst teams in the National Football League are, well, some are perennial contenders. Some are bottom feeders. The worst team, and it's not close. Carolina Panthers. Holy shit. Holy shit. And they've been to a Super Bowl in this span. A fucking Super Bowl. And they had a franchise quarterback for a good portion of this. And they still suck. 20.8% hit rate. 17.6% hit rate under their old GM. Holy shit, bad. I mean, that's so fucking terrible. The Cardinals are actually second worst on this list. They've got some decent ones. Austin Ford hasn't done much with all those extra picks that Whelan and Dealing, but you know, it's early for him. Maybe he could turn things around. But the Cardinals have had some good players roll through. They've also had some high picks because of bad, disappointing seasons as well. The 30th on this list, a.k.a. third worst, is the Green Bay Packers, Gutekunst. He's been fucking bad, man. Green Bay Packers, think about it. You know, you got to start wondering to yourself. The Green Bay Packers people love talking about 35 years of great quarterbacks or 30 years of great quarterbacks. And maybe you got another one in Jordan Love and it looks that way. But to only make it to three Super Bowls and win two of them, I don't know. Like, look, Mahomes has done that in 4 years, right? Fuck, the 49ers have been to a pair of Super Bowls in the last few years. You know, you got to win one. The Eagles have been to a pair of Super Bowls and won one. Like, you know, they're not drafting well. And that's the Packers game. They don't sign a lot of big name free agents. They don't spend a lot in free agency. They build through the draft. But, you know, some, especially Gutekunst, you would say that he has relied on having a franchise quarterback and then bringing a bunch of role players around that makes him feel better because they win a decent amount of games. But I think that could be very dangerous. I think it's dangerous to the Packers. Because I'll tell you, the Packers are going to be passed up. They don't have a roster that's going to win a Super Bowl. Again, maybe Jordan Love makes a couple steps up. That's possible. But the rest of that roster is a lot of question marks. I think it surprised a lot of people last year. The Denver Broncos, fourth worst over that span. The Rams, fifth worst. The Rams should not be surprising. They haven't had a first-round pick since 2016, Jared Goff, for fuck's sake. Like, that's crazy. Sixth worst was Washington. Seventh, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Eighth, the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys fans. Cowboys spend big in free agency. They don't really hit on the draft. They really don't. A couple good ones, obviously CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, a couple top-end guys. Getting that, I mean, if it wasn't for getting Dak Prescott in the fourth round all those years ago, 2016, what would the Cowboys be? Ask yourself that. Minnesota Vikings, the ninth lowest hit rate, and the Seattle Seahawks. John Schneider kept his job. Pete Carroll lost his job, but the 10th lowest hit total of any organization over the last 14 years. All right, let's get into, I want to give you guys some of my rankings. Again, this is a good reason to get over to fantasyguru.com. Everybody join our wonderful community over there, largest active community in fantasy sports. Join our Discord right now. Dynasty Discord is hopping. Everybody's making trades and wheeling and dealing, getting out ahead of the 2024 NFL draft. Our consensus rankings and player profiles are all live over there at fantasyguru.com as well. So check that out. Here are my top fives at the skill positions. And I think this is a good place. So quarterbacks, I've talked a lot about the quarterback position. Caleb Williams is one. Drake May is two. Drake May is the highest floor of any of the quarterbacks. And the highest ceiling probably is Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is third on my board. J.J. McCarthy, fourth. Bo Nix, five out of Oregon. I'm not a Michael Penix Jr. guy. I tried to get there with him. I couldn't do it. Just couldn't. So I do like Caleb Williams. There's a lot to like about Caleb's game. I don't think any of the, I think this quarterback class is very overvalued, very overhyped. All right. So I just don't see it with the, you know, as far as sure things. I do think Caleb going to the Bears is a great situation. Any one of the quarterbacks, I think will be very successful in Chicago, will be hit or miss in Washington. I do think that I'm leaning towards positive environment in Washington. I think they've done a lot of good things there and are on the uptick. And I think whoever goes to New England's going to fail. That's it. I mean, I don't even care which ones you put where. Just that's the situations will determine that. And I wish, you know, going into it with the quarterbacks, I thought there would be difference makers here, and there's not. Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, those are an impossible situation quarterbacks. Their entire college tape is just other people making plays to make them look good. Caleb did great things, but he had the best offense around him, the best offensive mind, play callers around him, best coach around him in Lincoln Riley. That's why Drake May is kind of one who's done it all on his own and without copious amounts of weapons. That's the safe guy. Running backs, I don't love the running back class at all. Just am not, you know, there's a couple guys that I like and I think could do real well. My number one running back, though, is Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. He's young. He's the biggest home run hitter on the board. I wish there was a better. I really thought I would like I can't get there on Jonathan Brooks after a torn ACL. Jonathan Brooks, for those who've looked into it, he suffered two knee injuries. I'm not sure about that knee at all. It's highly skeptical to me. Number one, Texas is a running back factory. All right. Roshan and Bijan. Now Jonathan Brooks, who he was second on the depth chart. People don't realize that. And then he gets the job. He had two different knee injuries earlier in the season, came back both times and then blew it out. That worries me, man. That worries me. He's out of my top five, Jonathan Brooks. I love the tape. I do think there's a lot of upside there. Little slight of frame for me, but I could see past it. Jalen Wright from Tennessee's one. Blake Corum's two. I don't even like Blake Corum. I'm stunned I have him two. Thing is, he goes to the Chargers. Like, I really think Harbaugh's going to make a bid for a lot of his Michigan Wolverines. I do. I have Corum second. He could play all three downs. He's a little undersized for me, a little old for me as well. He's going to be 24. So, I mean, it's two. These guys, like Jonathan Brooks is only 21. Jalen Wright's only 21. Trey Benson's only 21. These guys, like Corum and a couple others I'll mention here in a minute, they've lost 2 years of their prime in college. That's not great all told. I didn't factor that part in, but I do want that known to everybody that it's on my mind. You know, I'm looking at getting into the league year one running backs, because I'm not looking at, like, the quarterbacks, who will they develop into? Wide receivers, who can you build around them? But for running backs, like, you got to produce right away because the window is tight. And I'm not really worried about what 2028 looks like for them. Okay, so that's just the way it is. Ray Davis out of Kentucky, which, that's the guy who's 24 years old. He's going to be 25 years old. Like, that's fucking old, man. But Ray Davis, if Ray Davis was 21, he'd be my number one running back. I would have him ahead of Jalen Wright. I'll just tell you straight out. So it is an age thing with Ray Davis, but he's a three down back. He's more powerful than you give credit for. He is more elusive than he gets credit for. He can play on third downs. He blocks. He does everything. He is the coach's dream, right? Very elusive, short yardage. Everything works. He finishes runs well. I love Ray Davis. I have Trey Benson fourth. He's a big boy. He's a Derrick Henry type out of Florida State. You know, I love this kid. The last couple of years, I really loved him at Florida State. And they built an offense where he was a bulldog and a bell cow. And can he endure that, being bigger and taller and thicker, weighing 225 pounds? I think so. I think he could fill into that role. Speed is an issue with Trey Benson, though, as well. Something to watch. Can he finish off runs? Can he get to that second level? He can. Again, it's one of those situations. You put a good offensive line in front of him, and he could be a fantasy star. If you don't, and you give him some part-time work, is maybe I worry that they make Trey Benson into that short yardage guy only, then obviously he's kind of fucked. So there you go. Fifth on my list, I don't know why nobody seems to be talking about Kimani Vidal from Troy University. Kimani Vidal is electric. Very good running back. Perfect distribution of size, lower half, upper half. Does run a little upright, but he's smaller, so it doesn't show as much. He doesn't expose as much body to those injuries. Super elusive. A missed tackles forced absolute kingpin as well. And I like him a great deal. Kimani Vidal out of Troy. Again, I fucking wouldn't have told you where Troy University was. And I don't worry about what competition they're looking at. I'm worried about their skills, ability to set up blocks, their patience, their balance. Vidal has it all in spades. He is my number five. Wide receivers, talked a lot of wide receivers as well. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Marvin Harrison Jr. is one of the best prospects I've ever seen, ever, at any position of all time. He's the best wide receiver prospect I've ever seen. That includes Calvin Johnson, who I was also very high on. Other Hall of Famers, but Marvin Harrison's the most sure thing there is. He is the first pick in Dynasty, no matter where he goes. Don't overthink it. I'm sure there will be other players from this draft class who wind up with better numbers or maybe more bigger Hall of Fame careers. Very possible, but none of them are as sure as a very high-end productive player, Marvin Harrison Jr. Malik Nabers, any other year, would be the number one receiver. He is a top five overall prospect for me, and he's number two at wide receiver. The only thing about Nabers, a little smaller than I thought. Super crazy fast, though. Bit of a diva. He's got a chip on his shoulders, but he's a franchise wide receiver. Rome Odunze at three. The height, the ball skills all play. I don't think the separation numbers do. I think that Washington offense is just the best designed in all of college football. That's why I downgrade Michael Penix, Jalen Polk. These guys, I just downgrade them a little bit because without that system behind them, look at what Penix was at Indiana. Odunziehe, though, great kid, great story. I'm rooting for him big time. I would love him to land in Chicago at 9. Wherever he goes, though, it's a plus wide receiver. My number 4 wide receiver, Xavier Leggett. That's probably where that's the spot where I break away from most people. I just love this kid. I love everything about him. You could do a lot of things. Leggett could play inside. He could play outside. You could put him in the backfield if you want and play some trickery if you so choose. I don't think you have to do that. He's got a great body, a tremendous hands and ball skills. He's also super fast, ran a 4.39 40, but not Malik Nabers fast, even though their times were kind of similar. But he is still second-level fast, can make people miss in the open field. Did a great job, hands catcher, not a body catcher. So he's going to play at the NFL level for sure as well. I just love everything about Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. Ryan Thomas Jr. of LSU is my number 5 wide receiver. More one-trick pony, more downfield guy, but another one. Great downfield ability, using his body and jumping up and high-pointing, all those things. He's a big target. And one of the reasons I downgrade Jaden Daniels quite a bit, having Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, two of the top 5 wide receivers, is just insane. It's a benefit to any quarterback in the union, all right? So there you go. And then tight ends, let's leave it at tight ends. How many years have I talked about Brock Bowers? How much longer can I talk about this kid? Finally getting into the league. He's just 21 years old. He's an absolute behemoth at the position. Now, he's only 6'4", 240, right? But he ran real well. He's athletic as all get out. He is a willing blocker, doesn't do that. I think this blocking ability at the National Football League level, though, will be a lot. It'll play down, right? But his receiving ability is outworldly. There's so many things you could do with Bowers, lining him up all over the formation, really mixing and matching that coverage that he gets an advantage. So he is a guy like Sean Payton, Denver Broncos. He's Sean Payton's wet dream, to be quite honest with you. So Brock Bowers, easily number 1. The question starts at 2. Jatavion Sanders will be my guy, even though is he a real full-on tight end? Can he play all 3 downs? I think these are things that definitely are brought into question with Sanders. You know, I think that's one of the issues that we have with him. Watched, obviously, a lot of Texas tape, and Texas has so many good pass catchers. Sanders is just one of those guys that blend in. I don't buy into his blocking nearly as much. And I think that may pigeonhole him just a little bit. Jared Wiley, TCU. That's Jared Wiley. I really enjoyed this kid. I liked him a lot more than it seems other people do. He is a bigger target. He does have good speed to get up that seam. Again, that's the thing you really look for. Can they get off the line of scrimmage? Do they have enough speed to get past the first line of defense? Do they have enough size to withstand the hit that they'll take from the safeties? And Wiley does. He's got them both in spades, and I really think this kid will be I'm trying to find a comp to him. Not quite Donald Parham. He's not that big. But, you know, I want to say Sam Laporta. That puts too much on that kid. Maybe TJ Hockenson, right? And he blocks well, too. Again, the guy will get on the field there as well. So Jared Wiley, TCU. Cade Stover, Ohio State. That's a pretty big household name by this point. A lot of folks like Stover. I like Stover, too. I do think that there's little short and slight for me at the NFL level, right? And it's good, ran well. But you know, when you get a guy like Wiley who runs a little bit faster and is bigger, just feel that. And also the thing about Stover is he didn't have to block. They didn't hold him in that much. He wasn't a good blocker at Ohio State. You know what I mean? So that's part of the problem I had with Stover. And Eric Hall from Iowa, don't love that. You know, he went to Michigan his first couple of years. And the thing you got to like about Eric Hall is that he was trained by the best of the business. And that's Kirk Ferentz. injuries are a massive part of what Al brings to the table, right? Back-to-back years, he goes down middle of the season with an injury. So that's a big problem. I think he was a big missing part of the Iowa offense, to be honest with you. But he's a field stretcher. He is a more polished blocker than you'd like to see. He's going to be a later round pick, but a guy to keep an eye on for sure. So those are my top fives at all positions, folks. That is going to do it. It's been a wild time. Episode 200. I had festivities planned, but it's just little old me. This is what you're going to get. You're going to get great analysis. You're going to get it honest. You're going to get straightforward. You're going to get it every freaking Wednesday from here on out. Wednesday morning, if you're up late on the West Coast or East Coast, Tuesday nights, you'll probably end up being able to download this program as well. Want to thank everybody who came back and re-downloaded and resubscribed. It doesn't cost you anything, right? Tell a friend, pass it along. Really appreciate that. Please support our guys over at rtsports.com. Use that promo code FANTASYGURU, all one word, 50% deposit bonus on anything you deposit and play over there. Can't wait to start playing those home run showdowns with y'all over there as well. That's always a great time as well. They have plenty of DFS games every day, every night as well. So get in that. They have PGA, they have baseball. Every single day they have NBA playoffs all the way through as well. So like whatever the sport that you guys are into, they've got DFS contests there. Perfect spot for those kind of starting out. Perfect spot for those that are just getting involved. RTSports.com, place to play, y'all. Get over there. Check out FantasyGuru.com for the latest and greatest. All my content over there. The wonderful job that we've done in the NFL offseason. I'm very proud of our free agent products, our NFL draft products, NBA offseason, NBA postseason. I mean, NHL postseason. There's no offseason. What the fuck am I talking about? Soccer, PGA, MMA, NASCAR. It's all available right now. If you get our all-in MLB product, we toss in the MVP plan free. It's a $200 toss-in. Yes, that's all the other sports. So basically basketball, hockey, you're going to get the whole postseason all the way through, and you get everything NASCAR and horse racing and PGA and MMA and soccer, all of that great stuff. All right, it's basically all but football at this point. If you want our football product, I don't blame you. Get that fucking VIP platinum right now. 50 special, 50 special, special, all one word, 50% off. Get it now, fantasyguru.com. Any questions, email us, support@fantasyguru.com. Thanks to my producer, Sean Engel. Thank you to all of you for listening and tuning back in. One man's opinion, we ain't going anywhere, folks. You may disagree with some or maybe every damn thing you heard on any of these 200 episodes at this point. And folks, it's okay. You know why? You know why. It's only one man's opinion. See you next time, everybody. Deuces!